Michelle, anytime. All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to call to order the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, December 12, 2017. I'll just make a quick note since Paula asked, and some of you may be wondering. So I'm in this little sling. Went skiing with my 26-year-old son this weekend, and I didn't act my age and ended up dislocating my shoulder. So I guess it ruins my dream of someday pitching in the major leagues. With that, everybody, please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would like to just make a suggestion about a change in order on the agenda.
Okay.
I would, we've got 10-2, which is awarding or the contract for the architect on the animal shelter. The revision for the Hazel Avenue property.
Right.
And then we've got the contract with Mary Greeley at 10-4. And I was wondering if we could go ahead and move the contract up ahead of the discussion about the architect.
So you want the lease ahead of the discussion
Correct.
About the architect?
Yeah, I have a question about it.
Yeah, so I don't think, Marty, you have any problem with that?
No, I don't.
All right, so we'll make that adjustment when we get to additional items and just pull this discussion about the same building, just two different items, and we'll pull the one that Morris has a question about up front. So we're going to start with public comment number one, which is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so, come right on up. And seeing no one moving immediately the microphone, we'll go on to the AEDC quarterly report. Brenda Dreyer and Dan Kohlheim. Good morning again. So I was with Brenda and Dan an hour ago. Thanks for coming over.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. We're glad to be here this morning. I'm only here to support Brenda and reinforce that we're grateful for the partnership we enjoy with all of you and your terrific staff. I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that Chairman Sanders was awarded our 2017 Community Involvement Award by the Ames Chamber of Commerce this morning through a nomination process. So congratulations to Chair Sanders.
Thank you.
Truly, Brenda's going to give you a whole host of good stuff this morning. She's got so much activity and so many good things going on that we're glad to be here, and I'm going to turn it over to Brenda, so thank you.
Thanks,
Dan. So, good morning, some of you again. It was a fun morning
for
the whole
was.
County to celebrate a lot of the good things going on. Today we're going to, just like we normally do, we actually report on two different kind of initiatives of our organization and the support that you provide us for really two things. I'm going to start with Workforce Solutions, and then we'll move into the economic development services that we provide to the smaller communities in the county. On the workforce side of things, I'll start first with unemployment. Everybody had a chance to read kind of the news last week as it relates to the unemployment in Story County. And as you look at the MSA as a whole, we are indeed the lowest unemployment in the whole country as we looked at October's numbers. So there are some pockets of rural Iowa that dip below 1.4, believe it or not. But as you look as the county as a whole and with the large MSA of Ames, we are the lowest in the country. So while that's something to celebrate, it also there's more to the picture than just the low rate, and I'll talk a little bit about that in my comments today. So in October, we were at 1.4%, and you can see even what happened from September to October. A lot of September to October is related to seasonal, ramping things back up at the university, as well as all of the activity really related to the harvest. So that's really kind of dictating the October number. But I think if you look at trends and you look at October a year ago, we were at 2%. And so we'll be able to report at our next report really where we gained in jobs as a whole, not just public jobs, but we have a large number of private sector jobs that have been created over the last year. So we'll talk more about that when we have the final numbers in at the end of the year. Workinames.com, as most of you know, we refreshed that site. It's while it's called Workinames, it is indeed a Story County job board, and we work really hard to make sure that not just our Eames employers, but our employers from across the county have opportunities posted on that board. So if you look at views and people that are going to that site, at the end of November, we were at 67,830. And considering we basically created a standalone site, took it off of the chamber, and dedicated its own space, that's an amazing amount of views. I think it's interesting in the month of November, I'm just myself trying to get used to using Twitter, but the impressions on Workinames in the month of November alone were 21,600. So I'll talk a little bit about our social media efforts and some of the things we're doing at our office as it relates to our workforce efforts. We, since April, I've been out on 54 company visits. That's in addition to the work that the others in the department are doing. So most of those are related to human resources and workforce. So when I talk about that, it's really, those are workforce meetings. In addition to going out physically and visiting companies, we really work to maintain contact and connections. So in those months, we've had 203 contacts and connections. Last week, we talked about Home Base Iowa, and we're excited to partner with the county to really refresh and put some additional efforts into Home Base Iowa. The state has made some improvements on that program, so I've been excited to work with Brett and Leanne, and we're actively working to treat these folks very special. So since September, we've gotten leads and have done some intensive follow-up with 38 individuals that have indicated that they would take work in Story County. So we're doing our best to try to make connections with those 38 people, and I'm excited to try some of the enhancements we made and were approved last week by you all to support that program. The thing I mentioned in September is that we were getting ready to join the state in a workforce initiative called My Iowa Future. And what I have appreciated about the campaign is it's more than just talk. We are actually getting real live leads from the state of people that are actively seeking work. And so I'm going to talk a little bit more about that campaign. We are really one of three geographical areas in the state that are sponsors of the program, and Dan saw this as a real opportunity, and so I was excited to be able to really support the program from the start. The other areas are Cedar Rapids and actually Lee County, kind of the southeast quadrant. So I think we've got some amazing things to offer these folks. They target Midwest college communities. We talk a lot about what really is our focus, and we know Iowa State grads are an important market, but Midwest college communities, I think people could assimilate easily to Story County from any one of those areas. So it really is a website and social media campaign. We have a landing page, and it's a mailing that goes out from the state, and then we get those leads, and then we have a three-step process to react to those leads. And we have kind of a fun swag mailing with a fun message that goes out. And then within 2 weeks, we follow up with an email featuring our relocation videos, sending a message that this is a spot where there's a lot of things to do. We've got a lot of unique advantages from a quality of life, cost of living that we feature in those emails. And then we're going to actually be sending out kind of a postcard as a last-ditch attempt to try to catch them while they're still in their active search. So I was going to, Leanne, where did my link go on this? Okay. So before I get to all, I want to just wrap up some of our other workforce solutions. So we have hired a dedicated staff person. We took our social media efforts from an internship to really a dedicated staff along with some event work, and that's really where we've seen a lot of our numbers grow, and it's been fun to be able to not only just in our in workforce really be able to see some of the positives come out of that with a dedicated person working on that and being able to consolidate messages and doing cross marketing has been a real neat way to grow a lot of our efforts. So we have a strong partnership, and I think as we've tried to lay out a plan of work, we said, where are our good partners? Obviously, Story County is a great partner, but looking to the Alumni Association and the Convention and Visitors Bureau and Iowa Works are really three folks that have helped us implement the plan of work that we've had this year. So we sponsor a monthly email to 35,000 young alumni that are graduates of Iowa State in the last 10 years, again, driving them to work in Ames. It's those sorts of marketing activities that is why our views are so high on the website. We have a full-page ad in Visions that talks about work in Ames. And then we also are sponsoring quarterly events with the Des Moines alumni. We have a large amount of workforce that travels from Polk into Story County to work. And we want to continue to drive that as we have continued to promote over 1,500 job openings. So we've held pretty steady on that, and that's a lot of places that need people to work. The whole gamut, I get asked often, what type of jobs? Are they just Burger King jobs? I said, no, we need every sort of engineer. We need every sort of MIS and supply chain, and these are great jobs. So on the Convention and Visitors Bureau, they work with us on our concierge program. They're great about placement of welcome baskets. They'll do tours. The other side of it that we felt that's real important is our HR managers. They're our frontline folks that are promoting Ames and Story County as a place to live and work. And so we're working with them to give familiarity tours to our HR folks that aren't familiar with Ames and Story County so that they can talk to applicants many times in very different parts of the country trying to sell what we have to offer. So, yep, a great job is a start, but there's lots of other things that are needed to actually bring people to the county. And then we also advertise in sites, thinking, okay, people are in Ames. They're seeing firsthand Story County and Ames and everything going on. So we also have ads that we're placing there and the three issues that come out every year in sites. We just wrapped up our second job fair, career fair, with our partners at Iowa Works. And I think everybody says, why are you having career fairs when you have 1.4% unemployment? And we had 21 employers at last week's event, and we had 58 job seekers. And so there are people looking for work. There are people that are underemployed. There are people that are working two jobs just to get enough money. And so our unemployment, there's more to that. We're excited that we saw some of the DuPont workers at that event. And we're working very hard to react to that layoff and making sure that we're sending a message to those folks that there's lots of good jobs here and we want to keep you working here in the county. As we look ahead to 2018, we'll be doing just a bit of a refresh on the Work in Ames website. As we've learned, there's some things that are missing, some things that need to be handled differently. You all understand what a heavy lift a refresh can be. So that'll be one of the things we do after the first of the year. We'll launch four internship events next summer. Again, we'll be open to anybody that has interns in the county. So we'll be north, south, east, west, see yourself in Ames. So we'll try to get people out of campus. They're familiar with campus. We need to show them other areas of Ames and the county. We'll be dealing with the leads that come from my Iowa Future. So we're up to 152. We got another batch of leads that came in late last week that we're reacting to on that program. We are going to take our workforce recruiting out of Iowa. So we're working with the Des Moines Club now, but we've targeted four areas where there are large, active alumni clubs, where we have pockets of graduates with high skills. So Minneapolis, Denver, Kansas City. We're coming up with a plan with Chicago, and it kind of will be treated differently away from the clubs, but we're going to take our show on the road and be recruiting our high-end jobs with folks that have ties. Our pitch is, and we've all gotten kind of used to this, is if you're not looking for work, you probably know somebody that is. So we're making our ISU alumni partners ambassadors in our efforts to bring people here for work. We also know that our advanced manufacturing community is in need of workforce, and so we're going to be going out to the community colleges in Iowa outside of some of the metro areas with a real focus to bring them into Story County. You think of somebody up in Mason City that may have completed a welding degree at NIAC, and how great will it be for them to be able to come and pretty much fresh out of community college, be able to assimilate in a real college-y atmosphere with their buddies that might be attending Iowa State. I think it's a real positive. It'll be a plus for our manufacturers. A new thing out there is virtual career fair participation. So we'll be representing a large number of jobs at the community college. We'll do the same. We're going to give a shot after the first of the year to a virtual career fair that we can be promoting, you know, engineering, IT, so those things that are continue to be a struggle to try to fill. We are growing our scale and BEC numbers. Thank you to the county. We're going to be celebrating your participation this afternoon when we recognize the students that have been involved in the SCALE program, which is a semester program. Business Engagement Collaborative with Ames High is a year-long program. So I'll tell you, we've got about 100 students involved in the programs, but they're doing four times as many projects as they are students, so we're very excited about that. And we'll begin to market and support the changes we made to Home Base Iowa. So I want to give you a glimpse at what the My Iowa Future website looks like. So they're advertising in these Midwest college markets and driving folks to the My Iowa Future website. So if you kind of come onto this page, they can discover Iowa. The next link below is to order a swag packet. But this is actually the knowledge drop, and you can see there's varying blocks to this. But we, of course, love that we're the first block. So you go to Work in Ames, and then as you get to this, you find the various landing pages for our workforce sponsors. And so they're positioned a little different. An ad firm out of Des Moines did this, but one of my favorite is the Craig Tool one. It says, a job well done. Do you measure twice and cut once? If yes, a job at Huxley, Iowa, tool manufacturer, Craig Tool may be the perfect fit. But then you can go right to the Craig Tool job site. So we're very excited about this campaign, and as we continue to identify. Oh, I forgot to also show you. I don't want the county to feel like they're left out. So we actually have a link on that to the county. Dan, do you want to mention anything about that campaign?
I think the most unique thing about this program so far is that of the 150-some students, soon-to-be graduates, that have signed up for this My Iowa Future, they get to choose whether they want to be in a rural setting or an urban setting. And now, I think most could argue that maybe Ames is rural too. But nonetheless, the majority are seeking a rural setting, which was surprising to me. You always envision the college students want to go to Chicago or Minneapolis or someplace else. But again, this is targeting students from around the Midwest. We're not targeting kids in California or Arizona. This is Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Missouri. And it's really unique to see that, by and large, three out of four kids, young adults, are seeking rural Iowa, rural America.
So, to it. We're very excited about where that program is going to go. And again, we're very committed to working a little quicker than everywhere else and following up with those folks. So that wraps up my workforce, our workforce update. Any questions on workforce before I get to economic development? Again, as I gave you a glimpse of where we're headed in 2018, I would tell you it's a very aggressive plan of work for our offices. We're going to more than double our initiatives in terms of workforce. I think we're very committed. We have real opportunities in our employers, and a lot of what we need to do is being assisting them in filling the jobs, or we're going to lose opportunities.
Well, especially at 1.4%.
Yeah.
I mean,
we gotta be,
our workforce development is key right now.
We've got to be pedaling pretty quick. So we've got an aggressive plan for 2018, and again, your support is so key as we roll out those efforts. So let's talk a little bit about economic development services, and I think most all of you have a chance to go out at least couple times a month as we go out to our small communities, and you know, how do we not like that we get to work with folks that wear mayor's sashes? He's not even paying attention.
Oh, he's paying attention.
He did. But then, no, I enjoy my time with all of you, with our communities, and it is. We've got neat things going on in all corners of Story County. So just kind of some general numbers that, you know, I report just as much to kind of make sure myself I'm doing what I need to be doing in terms of supporting the contract we have with you. But as we look at contact and connections, again, touches to those communities, from April to November, that was 180. We had a total of 82 community visits, and a lot of those were with you. We have 37 project meetings. So project meetings could be housing. It could be with a small business that has concerns in a community. It could be with somebody that wants to open a business. So all sorts of those things are economic development in these communities. It could be something to do with a Main Street building. So I kind of tag those in my reporting as project meetings. I've been with you 25 times at the supervisors meeting, and coincidentally, we've been to 25 council meetings. Again, a lot of those with you all on various nights in any month. So those are kind of our key statistics. I want to, some of the highlights as I kind of glance back at the last 8-9 months. You know, we know housing is important. If you look at 7 of the 10 target communities that we look at with this contract, they've got some sort of housing underway. We have one that we worked with that is approved for the state workforce housing tax credit. The first time that program has been approved in Story County, so I'm very excited about that. I think what happened was we got that one approved, and all of a sudden we had another one in process. So I think you'll be hearing a lot about that program. It's great to see it going to small places and not just big housing projects in downtown Des Moines. So that's, housing is going to be important as we look ahead to 2018. We have active community development projects in 6 of the 10 target communities. So that can be things like facade projects, that can be community wellness buildings, a large number of things. Community development's different in each of those 10 communities, but we do have 6 projects we're working with them on. This one is exciting for me, who loves rural economic development. We have 2 of the 10 that said, yeah, we're ready. We want to enhance our efforts to attract light industrial and commercial development. And it all starts with a site under control with a plan on water, sewer, and streets. And that's exciting. And we've been able, in our efforts out of our offices with our new business folks, to be able to include those 2 areas in some of our efforts in reacting to leads. So stay posted on that, but we're excited to be able to support their efforts on that. And finally, as you all know, we are active participants in the Story County Group, and here right after the first year, we need to roll up our sleeves and start talking about an economic development summit. So the more people we get engaged in our communities and our county to build connections between our communities, I really do feel like that's an important strength. So Any questions for Dan or I?
So just a couple things. One, for everybody in the audience, when we refer to the 10 target communities, so our contract with the AEDC specifies that they're going to do work for our rural areas and all our smaller communities, so that would not include Ames, Nevada, Huxley, and Story City, but it does include every other one of our communities. Now, the AEDC currently does work for everybody except Nevada directly, so really handling the whole county. So I just wanted to be clear on what the 10 target communities were. And then the second thing I wanted to say is, Dan, I can't believe it's been 5 years since we entered into this agreement with the AEDC. So 5 years ago, I, along with Paul Tude and Wayne Clinton, who were then board members, put out an RFP requesting proposals for somebody to come in and help us with these economic development activities, and the AEDC was one of the bidders and presenters on that, and I think we were so wise at that time in awarding the contract to the AEDC, and it's been a phenomenal program. I had lunch with the mayor of Cambridge yesterday, and he underscored for me how the program has grown every single year, and now with the addition of Brenda to the program, we really see it going to new heights. And so I just want to congratulate and thank you, Dan, and your entire organization, and Brenda, let you know we're so happy to have you and appreciate the work you're putting in.
Okay. Thank you.
Laura, Marty, anything?
Look forward to.
Absolutely.
Came out of the Zarian City Council meeting last night, had the opportunity to see a community that had lost a clinic. They had a health care provider this spring, and they were at wit's end. It was world-altering to them. They took it upon themselves, and I can't oversell Brenda's presence on this because they alluded to it last night in the meeting, as far as saying, yes, you can, and here's the path that we want you to walk. They've already gone to the purchase of the property. Last night, they put a bid letting for contracts to build it. And I would have to say, if you want to see a tangible about what the AEDC, and in particular our contract employee, Brenda Dreyer, does, I'll take you to Zarian when they get it built here next year. Congratulations and thank you.
You bet.
Laura, anything?
Thank you very much. I have found this wonderful to work with Brenda. Drew was great to work with. They bring different skills to this position, and so thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Minutes from December 5th. Or
I would move to approve.
There you go.
Okay. Got a motion in a second. Olson?
Aye.
Cheedy?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Minutes passed. Personnel actions as listed, board.
As presented.
Second.
Motion in a second. Cheedy?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Claims?
I need to recuse myself.
But yeah, let's just pull that one down.
Yeah, let's go ahead and pull claim number 2963 to 4A Promotions for a $220 ad in the Ames Bulletin Board by Story County Conservation.
Second.
So we've got a motion for approval of the claims with the exception of that one
correct
claim.
Correct. Thank you.
You seconded it.
Yes.
Discussion on the claim, those claims. Olson?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Now let's deal with 2963. So Morris has recused herself because she is a part owner or full owner?
Actually, I legally own it.
Still own 4A. No. Story County Conservation bought an ad in this publication. That's why Laura is going to stay out of this one. Marty, would you like to make a motion?
I would move acceptance of this consent item as noted with upon discussion.
Yeah, so this is one claim for $220, and I'll second it. Discussion? Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Olson?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That takes care of claims. Consent agenda, board.
I would move as presented.
I would second that.
Okay.
Discussion.
Well, there's no discussion on consent, okay. So if you want to pull something,
pull
it. I want
to pull something just to make a comment.
All right, so then here's what we're going to do. Marty's made a motion. You didn't second it. I didn't second it. It dies for lack of a second. Now go, Laura.
I would like to move as presented with the exception of item number 10, which I'd like to pull for separate consideration.
Okay, so item number 10, which is consideration of the appointment of Russell Bauer to the Story County VA Commission to fill an unexpired term. We're going to deal with the rest of the consent agenda other than that if you second her motion.
Okay.
I would second her motion.
All right, so this is the entire consent agenda except for item 10. Olson?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. So consideration of the appointment of Russell Bauer to the Story County VA Commission. Go ahead.
I would just like to make note for the record that he is a county employee, but we don't prevent or prohibit our county employees from serving on voluntary boards and commissions. And so I just thought we should make note of that. And with that, I would move appointment of him to fill the VA term on the commission.
I would second that appointment.
Super. We've got a motion and a second. I'll just add, we had 5 applicants for this position. All 5 were outstanding applicants. I want to thank Pat and Brett both for taking shifts and sitting in on the interview process. And, of course, Deb Shildroth, who sets up the whole process to get through. It was a really, really difficult decision. But at the end of the day, those of us involved felt like Rusty brought a skill set that's going to really benefit our board. He comes from an area of the county that we're underserved, and that's how he ended up winning the recommendation for this board. Motion to second. Further discussion?
None.
Olson?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Russell Bauer is appointed to the VA Commission with a term ending 6/30 of 19. Thank you, guys. So that gets us through consent agenda. We don't have public hearing items today, so we're to additional items, and we're going to go ahead and do discussion consideration for 7-day review of password policy for Story County. Barb, how are you today?
I'm good. Getting my exercise.
Morning, Barb.
Good morning, Board. I have placed on the agenda was a redacted copy of the password policy for security reasons, but I've placed a copy of the full draft on your desk. Please either shred it or keep it in a secure place after you're done reading it. The reason for the password policy, every year when the state auditor comes, they always ask, do you have a password policy to go along with your acceptable use? We've always had password procedure, but not a formal written policy. And some of the reason for that is so many of our different programs have different password requirements. So we put our heads together and found the commonalities between the programs and have come up with this password policy that will cover all of our programs, the Windows and the AS400-based programs. So we'd like it to be sent out for a 7-day review and then start implementing in January.
And all that will be sent out for 7-day review is the redacted version?
I will make the full version available on the intranet for people to view, asking not to copy or download.
Okay.
And then new users, when they're brought in, will be shown this and gone over with them.
Thank you. Board discussion.
Painfully obvious. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the people that helped you do it.
You're welcome.
I would make a motion that we move consideration for a 7-day review of the password policy for our information technology.
I would second.
Motion and a second. Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes 7-day review. Thanks, Barb.
Thank you, Barb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now here's where we're going to move item number 4 under additional items up to discuss before item number 2, since Laura, you had a question, is that right?
Okay, and now I'm looking here, yes, item number 4, which is the lease.
Yeah, so item number 4 is discussion consideration of proposed lease agreement between Story County and Mary Greene Medical Center for the use of a residential care facility located at 124 South Hazel, currently used as a group home by Optime. And so, Deb, set the table for us exactly what we're talking about in these two items.
Sure. Good morning.
Good morning, Deb.
This lease agreement is part of the entire process of moving the use of that home from a residential care facility to a crisis stabilization transitional living center. And with that process, we're moving the service from Optime to Mary Greeley Medical Center. And so we have a lot of moving pieces at this point in time. We've got some renovations that need to take place. before it's ready to be used as the Crisis Stabilization Transitional Living Center. And then we also need to have a new lease agreement since Mary Greeley will be the new quote-unquote tenant for that particular location. So the lease that's before you, and I did run this through Ethan Anderson in the Story County Attorney's Office, looks a little bit different than some of the other leases that have been before the board. So I'll just highlight some of those changes. On page 2, under the premises and term, the lease would take effect the first day of July 2018, and I do want to revisit that in just a second. And then end the 30th day of June 2020. So it's a two-year lease where most of our leases have been just a one-year term. And the reason for that is tied into number 2 here, the rent. Mary Greeley was inquiring about a dollar per year rent agreement. And so that's why we took a look at having the agreement be 2 years instead of 1 year, and then at the end of that 2-year term, look at negotiating a more fair market rate in terms of the rent.
Deb, when you say we, who was we?
Mary Greeley. And
no, on our side, who did the negotiation?
I talked with Ethan about it.
But
there, we had the inquiry from Mary Greeley if that would be a possibility, and so I had talked to Ethan about it.
Okay, because I went back and checked for our minutes for this year, and I don't show that we, this board, ever approved actually headed into the lease of the negotiation of the lease, which is why I asked who is we. This is a wonderful concept. It's creative. I know it came from you and Rick. It's an excellent way, I think, the whole solution to go ahead and address a problem we have in the community. We never really voted, though.
But this is our opportunity to do that.
Well, but I'm concerned that we maybe had a negotiation going in that Mary Greeley said, can we have a dollar rent? And yet it never came to us to say that.
It's coming to us right now. Nothing's been offered or approved or anything else. It's simply Deb working with Mary Greeley to put together a suitable lease from their perspective. And to right this second, it sits before this board to consider, which is exactly the appropriate place for us to do this.
And I anticipated this lease coming maybe a couple of months from now. But Mary Greeley had reached out. Their board of trustees meets next Monday, and they wanted to start looking at some kind of a lease agreement as they make plans to ramp up and prepare to provide the service.
And let's just be completely clear. The Mary Greeley trustees have not seen this lease yet.
Correct.
And they could easily come back and say, no, some provision in this doesn't work for us. This is our first chance to review this as a board.
Correct.
And I think it's appropriate that we go through and review every aspect of it and talk about why. So why $1 a year? Frankly, from my perspective, that's the county's skin in the game to provide a necessary service here in the county. Right? We've got multiple entities with skin in the game. You've got Mary Greeley, who's talking about really providing these services and stepping out there to staffing levels and doing all the things necessary to provide it. You've got the region, which is offering to pay for the services, at least at some level. And if a lease like this passes, then you've got the county saying, we own the facility and we're willing to lease it for 2 years, basically rent-free, right? $1 a year is basically rent-free. And that's our skin in the game for providing. I like the concept. I'm so appreciative that this was put together like this for us to discuss. But this is the place for us to discuss it.
I don't have any problem with $1. I mean, you're right. Okay, that's our contribution here. In fact, we're contributing $186,000, roughly. Okay, isn't that for what will be the renovations?
Well, that could be the region. I mean, so that's still.
We've got a placeholder in our budget. So I'm asking, I just asked about what was the process. That's what I'm asking about.
Perfect. I'll stand.
So then my other thing is more of a, I think, a typo.
limit. If you notice at the it identifies one property, 124 South Hazel Avenue. But if you go, and that's on page 2.
Yep.
Okay.
And then if you go to page 4, says the following 24 emergency numbers shall be used and kept available for Mary Greeley Medical Center personnel at all 4 building locations. So I'm not clear if that's their 4 building locations or if that's R, that is just a typo, right?
It's a typo. Thank
okay.
you, Laura.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That was when we had a lease with the former administration building and the 3 group home. So, yes, thank you for catching
that. So, just so I'm clear, because, I mean, so when I saw this package, it was the first time I had seen this lease. Did you use the framework from our Optima lease in order to create this lease as you work with Mary Greeley?
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
Okay, those are my 2 questions.
Oh, so we need to make the correction, the typo that Laura's just noticed. And so are we just getting rid of the at all 4 building locations?
Yes.
Okay. Super. Marty, anything?
I appreciate what Deb has done. It's a foundational out-of-the-gate process. I don't think there's been any negotiations done. I think the region's having conversations about this in the sense that they will probably be a contributor on the expense to bring this into being. We're just on the information gathering side of things. I don't see any negotiation here.
Okay. Yeah. Just a couple of other highlights. On page 5, under utilities and services, we've had the utilities in the county's name, and then we've just been billing Optima. With this lease, the utilities will be placed in Mary Greeley.
Right.
Name, so there won't be that the county paying and then recouping. So that's a change. And then on page 9, last page under item 21, additional provisions, the county continues to need to have access to the building as a whole, but in particular the basement at this location, because we have a secured area in that basement that has all of the client confidential records from the Community Life Program that are locked, and we have to keep those for a period of 7 years, and that is up in May of 2022, and then at that point we can destroy those records. But we want to be able to have access when we need to in case we get requests for client records or we need to look in those files for one reason or another, but they're locked and stored, and only the county has access to those.
Good. Outstanding. Well done, Deb. Thanks for putting this together. If there's no changes, I would sure entertain a motion to approve as presented.
With the one typo.
With the one typo, absolutely.
You pulled it. You want to talk about it? Proposal?
Oh, I moved to the order of it. Sure, I'll make a motion that we approve with the one typo. The correction of the one typo
142. Yep.
Second.
We've got a motion and a second, and I just want to underscore that now this becomes the county's offer to Mary Greeley. It doesn't imply acceptance by Mary Greeley. That would have to happen from their trustees at one of their meetings.
Right. And the only other comment is if we need to adjust the date that the lease takes effect, that may be something that the board would have to consider at a later date in talking with Optima and being able to move the clients and that sort of thing. So that's something that could come back to the board.
My expectation is this is not the last time we're going to deal with this lease. Assuming we approve it, it will go to Mary Greeley in front of their lawyers. Almost never do you see something like this that doesn't come back with some kind of modification. So all we're approving, if we approve it, is the proposal that goes to Mary Greeley for them to deal with. Any other questions?
None.
Olson.
Aye.
Chi.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes, and I'll be anxious to hear Mary Greeley's response. Okay, so now we're going back to item 2, which is consideration of Rosalind Mackey-Harris as the recommended consultant for the architectural engineering design services for this building that we're referring to as we talk about changing it from a group home to a crisis stabilization center. And I saw Jeff here.
Okay. There he is.
For both. Come on up. Yeah. It's got your name on it. Let's have both. All right, so Deb, this is your item as well.
Yes, I worked with Leanne Harder on preparing an RFP for improvements to this particular building so that we can get it ready for the crisis stabilization transitional living program. And so we set that RFP out. We had the mandatory visit on November 17th. We had two interested firms at that point in time that participated in that visit. And then the proposals for the RFP were due on November 30th, and we had one proposal, which is Roseland, Mackie Harris, and Jeff is here with us today if there are specific questions within the proposal. But it is coming back with a proposed cost of $35,695. And, again, that's just for the technical kinds of services to pull this all together, the plans, the bid letting, that sort of thing. That's not actual construction, labor, right. Materials, all of those.
Because as I understand it now, as Mary Greeley has reviewed this facility, they've got some ideas of what it would need to look like for them to be able to utilize it as this crisis stabilization.
That's correct, and we took those ideas from Mary Greeley as we put together the RFP. So yes. Jeff is fully aware of what those ideas are.
And then the other thing I would add is we are dealing with a major time crunch if, in fact, we're going to meet some of the our targets for having that operational as a crisis center.
Correct.
Did we have any other people submit proposals?
This was the only one received.
Mm-hmm. Two that expressed interest, and then only one that canceled.
Only one.
Like I said, it was a time crunch. We appreciate
yes. you. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that schedule is laid out pretty well in the RFP. I think. Yeah. We're looking at issue documents by mid February or end of February. So okay. We'll meet that schedule.
I would move that we approve the Roseland Mackie Harris Architect proposal to do the work. As laid out here at the price.
I would second that.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? No. Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. Now we'll stick with you as we move to our next item, which is discussion consideration of proposed animal shelter improvement plans at a cost estimated for $692,699.
And Board, I'm going to ask Tim Caskey with the
yes.
Animal Control Department to come on up and as we walk through the plans and the estimates.
So let me start, first of all, and then I'll let you get into your presentation, Jeff. Thank you so much for all the hard work that's gone into this. It has been a challenge unlike anything I've seen to try to pull all this together, and I think you've done a commendable job with what you had to work with, and now we'll get into the presentation.
All right, yes, thank you, Rick. I don't know, Sue. I was trying to remember when we were here with our preliminary plan. It's been a couple months. You know, we presented that schematic plan. We've kind of gone back with Sue. We made a few modifications, nothing major. So the plan you see in front of you today is really what's developed over the last couple of months. We've also brought Brewer Engineering Consultants, and Brian's here today if you have questions for him as well, to evaluate the mechanical, electrical systems that are in the existing building. Brian's come up with a plan to kind of rework some of those systems, to supplement those systems, to improve the mechanical issues, and then also to deal with the electrical and life safety issues that are code-related there. Regarding exit lights, emergency lights, those types of things as well. So the estimate, we've kind of taken off the architectural portions of that and then also had Brian supplement that with his mechanical electrical estimates for that work as well. We've kind of identified three major things that could be deferred, could be done at a later date, and then the overall budget. So that 692 number kind of includes those, and really about half of that budget is comprised of those other three items. The first, and I think Sue can speak to that, maybe the importance of that, is that large animal addition, which we've shown to the west of the current facility. We're looking at really just a similar building, you know, to what's there, a pole building type structure. But really with three stable stalls to hold large animals and then some storage for bedding and other things that they need in that space. We identified that as probably about $110,000 addition to the facility. That's something that could obviously and easily be bid as a bid alternate or deferred completely at this time and come back at a later date. And Sue, if you want to talk more about the importance of that or the need for that, I think they're probably...
Well, we do get in our fair of wildlife, but also livestock. And livestock right now, we just have 11 chickens that we had to keep in our stock trailer. But the problem is if we're called out and somebody's got horses on the road or cattle on the road, you know, we need that spot to be able to put them. And the little area that we have out there, and I don't know if you've noticed it or not, it's just kind of like a little tin building with chain link in front of it. You know, every time the wind blows from the south, I worry that it's going to end up in the pond. So that's a deep concern of mine. It's harder to get people, as you remember, when Brenda was at the shelter before she retired, she would take these animals and take care of them. The problem is now is, you know, with the different diseases that run between the different animals and the different damage that they might do to something, there's not a lot of people that want to say, yes, you can have my barn to use. You know, it ends up, I think, in the long run, being not a good thing because we are, you know, now we're accepting responsibility for damage done to their buildings. But we do continue to get those livestock calls, and, you know, it's hard, especially when it's in the dead of winter, we're going to be thinking, what are we going to do with this animal? And, you know, we have compliances with our state code that we have to cover, and we don't want to be that shelter that people find out that we're keeping a horse in a stock trailer. So, to me, this is a very important part of this. You know, it's not something that we use every day, but it's certainly something that when we need it, we need it. And so that to me is an important thing I would not like to see taken out, but I just kind of wanted to let you know what my feelings were on it.
Jen, I have a question. You said, I got the impression maybe you were talking about a standalone building, but when I look at the plans, I see that it's attached.
Yes, yeah.
Is what originally had been discussed.
Yes, okay, yep. Yes, it's really the same that has been discussed all along. It's just isolating the cost of that one item.
Sure.
Like I say, I know we've seen a pig out there, and what else have we seen?
A
chicken. We can attest that there's some need for that. I guess the next large line item is really the air handling equipment that we're looking at to take care of the kennel area, the quarantine areas, and the kind of the kitten areas or the cats that are being quarantined and being prepared for adoption. And we're almost looking at a new system for that portion of the building, probably a standalone system that's exterior to the building. And Brian can add to my interpretation of that. But there's such a large outdoor air component and exhaust component to that we really can't handle that with the existing, essentially commercial furnaces that are in the building right now. So that would be a standalone system that would essentially handle that center core of the building. You want to add to that, Brian?
It's really a function of both the code and the cat code for ventilation. The requirements are fairly high. It's nearly a CFM per square foot. The furnaces that are in there won't handle anything near that. The best approach, and it's been used in other areas, is a piece of equipment that has heat recovery in it, energy recovery. It shows you can generally recover a substantial amount of that energy for that ventilation. Gets your air changes up. It changes the smell. It keeps the smell and the fumes and the odors. You know, everything in an animal shelter you want to get rid of to help, you know, promote that healthy environment, the image when you walk in, and personnel health and safety inside. So it's just we're trying to group it together, so we've got make utilization of a single piece for a bigger area that's grouped together, and it gives some flexibility for that space, so it works really well. It also comes to the proposal is that we're going to meet a lot of the national guidelines, and so where we're at now, it's nowhere close. So.
And I think the other areas of the building, we're still planning to repurpose those existing furnaces and improve the vent. Still probably install some ventilation units and energy recovery, just more of a small residential type energy recovery on those units. That's probably the majority of the HVAC change. Some of that then obviously is just rolled into the general remodeling of the rest of the space. It wouldn't include that. I guess if we were to defer that large portion of that central air handler for now, we'd have to just try and handle that area with what's there and probably add some additional exhaust to the building, but it wouldn't necessarily be as efficient or as effective as what the long-range plan would be. So then the third kind of component that we identified as an alternate would be the paving of that road to the south, the service drive that comes around the building, and then the parking area, staff parking to the west, which it was in pretty bad deteriorated shape. I think the county's come in now and done some, at least some gravel and some things to improve it, so it's more usable now, but it's still, in the long term, is not very good shape and would need some. So that was about $65,000 of the total. About $150,000 is that HVAC improvements, and then the $110,000 for the stable portion, or the large animal portion. And that, so that leaves us about a $300,000 budget for just the general remodeling of the area. That includes a fair amount still for HVAC and electrical changes. We're looking at combining. There's four electric services to the building right now, which is somewhat of a code violation based on the fact it was originally individual tenants. And now being a single use and a single customer, those would be combined into a single electric service. Then updating emergency lighting, exit lighting, those types of things. So I think what we're after today is probably just some direction from you on scope, how you'd like us to proceed with either bidding the entire project or bidding portions of it and deferring portions of it. That's what we're after today.
I'll go first. Again, I'm so appreciative of the work that's put in. I am really, really frustrated. This frustration is not directed at anybody. It's directed at the situation. So if we go back in time to when we were talking about the possibility of purchasing this building, I was the one board member who was dead set against it. At that time, I said we're going to do this. We need to build new because we're going to end up buying a place and then putting too much money into it. This proposal, if we do everything in addition to what we pay for the building, we're going to have $1 million into our animal control facility, which is not acceptable by any measure. And what is really frustrating to me about this situation is, Jeff, the things you're talking about here are basically building a new facility, putting in a new HVA, doing the thing. Yeah, absolutely, but doing the things that we wouldn't be doing if we had built a new facility at the time. But this is where we are. So now we got to figure this out from my perspective. And, Larson Marty, you're going to have to take this wherever you take it. This isn't even close to what we can do. I don't know if I'm suggesting that we're going back to the drawing board from square one or we're looking at just cutting this thing way, way down. But Story County, my perspective, cannot afford to have $1 million in our animal control facility. We just can't. Marty Morrison.
Well, you kind of addressed my two jump out of the box. I mean, what did it cost to buy the facility?
We were $330,000, $335,000.
When did we buy it? Now, we did it in phases. I know we did...
August 15th.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess somebody, you did the math. I'm sitting here in my head knowing I was getting at $1 million, and it's just like, that's not what we can do. We are not in a position where... Do we need to do something? Yeah. I'm sitting here looking at the paving. That becomes a bit alternate if we go forward. I sit there with a rural perspective looking at, are we... addressing animal needs in a way that aren't done in a private setting. I mean, I would have to just take a tour of my neighbors and see how they handle their hogs or handle their horses, their cattle, and whatnot And I think that we have gone to the top end versus what is acceptable as I see it, find it. But I do not offer myself up as anybody with any expertise. And I think the price reflects that. I guess I had it in my head that we were looking for an addition to the building to offer you the protection of the animals as you find them, and they do. You always come with a story of, now we have the python, now we have an iguana, now we have this. So I know the need exists, and I was comfortable in my mind apportioning some dollars, but when you get to $700,000, you kind of lose me.
Well, I'm the animal advocate here, and I looked at the amount dollar, and I'm choked. Okay, so in a perfect world, I would love to see us be able to offer all of this, but reality says that economically we can't absorb this. So. And this is hard for me, very, very hard to say that the supervisor agrees, okay, we can't. The animal lover is very sad, and I guess whether it's make a little light or whatever, it's good. I have no idea what we would have seen had I gotten my Ova skylights, you know, to offer more light to the animals, because we don't offer even what are the minimum standards for what is considered under the USDA for breeding facilities when it comes to access to light. So of anything, what concerns me about that we may end up taking out is actually the ventilation systems, because that is a health issue for not only the animals, but can be for staff. But I understand it's $151,000 that we just don't, I think, easily have. But that's the one that concerns me. I understand about the large animal addition. I think in the beginning, when I was involved in the conversations, we talked a lot about that. We are a rural shelter, a county shelter. But I think the best that we would be able to do on that is maybe we need to try to find an actual contractor so that we know if there's some farm that can take these animals for a set price in advance, you know, because $110,000 does seem like a lot. Now, once again, it would be climate controls, correct? Is that part of it?
Right, yeah. And it's a very basic building. I mean, it's the bones of a building. I mean, I don't want you to think that it was done extravagantly, because that's not how I am, but, you know, it does have a concrete floor, but, I mean, we're not putting in, you know, it's just a real basic building.
I understand.
I don't know if it was made smaller. I don't know, you know, I mean, there's a lot of compromises, I think, to be made here. I agree. When I looked at it, I about fell over. So there is no doubt in my mind how you're feeling.
So it's important to note, Sue, that a large portion of the purchase price, I won't say half of the purchase price of the building, came from your Friends of Animals Fund. You still have dollars in that Friends of Animals Fund that you're talking about putting toward any kind of renovations that we would do, but then the rest would have to come out of our general budget. What portion of what do you have available in your donations account that would be available for anything we do here?
I'd say about $150,000.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I recall, and this is way, way back, and I'm not trying to hold you to anything, but I recall initial conversations with the previous board where we talked about the possibility of Friends of Animals paying for half of whatever we were doing and Story County generally picking up the other half, which would mean we would be looking somewhere in the $300,000 range of acceptable renovations to this facility. Now, I'm not saying that's where we are. I'm saying those are the conversations that I remember us having.
I remember that, of course, yeah. You know. And I have to be quite honest, I had no idea about the HVAC. I had that, you know, I did not. I mean, we've replaced two furnaces this year. We've got, you know, in some of our rooms we have ventilation fans exhausting the air outside. Do we have a big HVAC system? No, but I mean, you know, if we have to go smaller, I'm fine with that. I'm just, you know, it's kind of like a first look for everybody. And
so as I see it, there's three possibilities, and I don't like two of them. But the three possibilities are that we scrap this whole idea and we go build a new animal facility somewhere else, and the county finds a different use for this building. I mean, that's a terrible idea. The second option is that we scrap our animal control operation and we farm it out to somebody else. We may have enter in contract with Rescue League of Iowa or something like that. I think that's a terrible idea. I love where Story County is in this. So those are two options. The third option is for us to put together a dollar-based budget and say, here's the money we have available to do renovations, do the things that need to be done, that can be done within this budget. That's the only three options I see, because I don't believe, after hearing the two of you speak, I don't believe that this is anywhere close to an option for us.
I know we have been working with kind of what I guess the previous board had said, but I know we were looking at $250,000 to $300,000 total.
And that's, I mean, you know, what we were looking at was just an addition into our new area, you know, a door that
right.
goes in there.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, there's things that can be cut. And I, you know, I'm willing to go back to the drawing table and do that. I just, at this point, I'm open for ideas, and I welcome any response.
Yeah. Jeff, yeah, do you have thoughts based on what you're hearing from us?
I mean, I think knowing what that budget is obviously critical, and then, yeah, finding a way to scale back to what that, like I say, without those options, we're at about that $300,000 number. It's just that we're leaving off that one major portion of HVAC.
You're leaving off the HVAC, and I'm hearing that that's important. Figuring out how to handle that here is important.
Yes.
Leaving off the new addition.
The livestock, right. And the paving work.
And leaving off the paving work, right. Which we've already gone in and done. We haven't done paving work, but we've already gone in and done some parking
improved situation,
work.
Yeah.
And that doesn't take into account all the other things that frankly, have to be done to get where we need to go.
Well, looking at the paving, and Joby, maybe if you have anything to add to it from a facility standpoint, I remember that the discussion about the paving was related to concerns that Cal, who will soon retire, he was very concerned about how the impact on the equipment itself, that we had a real cost involved with leaving that parking lot the way it was because it was hard on the equipment.
Well, and it was a safety issue.
Yeah.
So, and maintenance issue.
So just to point out that, I mean, some of this is as we work through it, are those other components in there on
sure, but we knew or should have known what we were getting into buying a 25-year-old building with some of these issues. Absolutely. And again, I started with, we are where we are.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion to the board is that we ask this to go back to the drawing board with a proposal coming forward that does not exceed $300,000 estimated, that we pull our new facilities director in. So our retiring facilities director was not quite as involved as I think I'd like Joby to be in this conversation. And let's just start to see what we can do in-house, what's reasonable to do, what has to be done, and see if we can build something that from a monetary point of view is at least rises to the level of being reasonable for this board to consider.
I have a question about sources of funds here. We've been talking about the general fund all along, plus we've been talking about the Friends of Animals. And I do know that Sue relies upon that. That's what part of the program to be able to keep the animals until they're adopted, as opposed to getting to the point of having to euthanize.
We're also to raise our line item.
Yeah,
our line items in our regular budget.
Absolutely.
It offsets it greatly.
Right, but 15 or 20,000 you pull out of
yeah.
the area. So, is there any possibility, and I see Leanne Harder in the back of the room, and since she seems to be our expert on TIF, okay, is that, is this in fact considered a quality of life type issue that would fit under the definition of using TIF funds?
So that sounds like a great question for Ethan Anderson, our civil attorney,
and
Lisa Markley.
Okay.
And Lisa Markley. So my My perspective is it's not even close to qualifying, but I would refer to the experts to see.
Okay. Sorry, Leanne.
Took you off the hook. Okay. I'd definitely refer to our county attorney on that one. I don't think it's feasible, but that's my opinion right off the top of my head.
I'm trying to turn over every rock.
A couple things that right now, the balance in Sue's Friends of Animals, I think as of this morning, was $277,000.
Right.
She's wanting to keep some back for ongoing uses throughout the years. So that's why she had mentioned $150,000 from day one, or the other $150,000, I should say. The rest of the remodel money that we're talking about, we've moved $100,000 this year in the capital projects. You guys put that in the budget to do that, so that's coming from the general fund, and planned on seeing where we were at, how much we were going to need in order to move the rest of whatever.
But do you recall the same conversation, Lisa, that it was somewhere in that matching range of what was coming out of Friends of Animals?
Yes. Yeah, because there was a large donation, and that was about what Sue wanted to put toward the building. So, yeah.
Well, I'm so appreciative that we get to see what we would do if money were no object. Money is an object. It absolutely matters. Board, we need to give some very clear direction for moving forward. I've made a suggestion. You guys weigh in and figure out where we're headed.
I don't know. I was just in my head after I saw this. The question I kind of carried around with me, the fact is I thought it was like 3.25, and then I was $330,000 on the original purchase price. I don't know if I would operate on hard cap of $300,000. I would sit there and say, if you bump over and just, you know, show us what the dollars are.
Right.
You know, I don't. That's just because it can turn into an alternate situation. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I think we do that.
You know, try to get to the $300,000 yet. Knowing that if there's anything that takes us over that, it would be proposed in such a way we can make a bid alternate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would.
And I think Rick's right. I mean, clearly, I don't think, you know, as much as your heart's in it, Loris, I get that. $1 million animal control building is pretty hard to do.
I agree. I like Marty's suggestion.
Yeah, well, it leaves us the flexibility. If we see something, we realize that we say yes to this, we're going to turn around and place it upon ourselves to say no to something else.
Correct. So you've
heard me say it.
Okay, I'll second it.
All right, so we got a motion to go back to the drawing board and produce something somewhere in the neighborhood of $300,000 with possibility of alternates and I would say prioritize what needs to be done. That is not part of the motion. That's my own editorial addition.
Just for edification, the working group then becomes Joby, Sue, Jeff, and your team, and who else?
Deb Shulgroth.
And Deb Shulgroth, okay.
Which is the same working team we had, just Joby instead of Cal. And Joby, we're just asking and expecting that you'll be an active participant.
All right.
Thank you. So the motion is somewhere around $300,000, just back to the drawing board.
Correct.
Okay? Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. So that we're all clear, this is denied with follow-up action of going back to the drawing board.
Correct.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for all your efforts.
Good work.
No,
it's really frustrating. No agency reports. How about this, Leanne? Departmental reports, outreach, and special projects. I didn't think we were going to make it before you had to leave.
No. Oh, yeah, that's right. Is there with me while the computer wants to leave?
You go ahead and get started. I'm going to slip out for just a second.
Shelly, would you mind hitting the light? Well, good morning. Before you today, I think will be my last quarterly report. And speaking of Shelley, I think I'm going to go to half two times a year before you with updates. I'm here, it seems, every week as it is. So I think you guys have an awareness of what I'm dealing with. I'm going to go over several items in my work program and then end with kind of a
from you guys what you'd like to see happen in 2018. C2C plan annual review, it really did kick off this summer, shortly after the first anniversary of the adoption of the C2C plan. Then in November, the board did have the opportunity to see the annual review. What I'll be doing is on January 9th, bringing forward the implementation matrix, as discussed by the board when you had the annual review, and then we'll plan for amendments to the C2C plan itself in April. So what you will see with the
April of this year?
2018. I even skipped another year ahead, April 2018. Obviously, making that transition to 2018 is going to be a little bit difficult for me. Maybe I just want to skip it. But I'll touch base with Jerry Moore with planning and development to be able to incorporate what was discussed at the work session that the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Supervisors had, if anything, to incorporate into the implementation matrix. The executive summary is in draft format. It's ready. It's actually down with Amelia in planning and development. And when she's done with it, then I can have it ready to go to the printer, printing in-house. We'll use that then as we go out, myself and planning and development staff, to do the presentations to school districts and city councils, the check-in. So this is where we are. This is where we've been. This is where we're going. And then hopefully sometime shortly after the beginning of the year, study up meetings with local school administrators. I'm trying to hold out to see how some of the changes with superintendency may come to be before we schedule those. But at the minimum, we'll get the invitation sent out for the board chairs as well and the school administrations.
See, I have a question about the presentation to the school districts and the city councils, okay? Do you have any idea about what, if say you were limited to 12 to 15 minutes, okay, and maybe 20 slides, have you started thinking about what would be the most important things that they might care about?
No, not yet. Okay, got it.
All right, thanks.
I can say, as being one of the recipients of expecting the presentation to come in my other hat, our agenda is pretty well packed, as is yours, so we do need to be cognizant that we get the right message to them and carry it forth. KUCOG annual review has been delayed several times because of the lengthiness of your agendas, so I delayed it again through January. It's ready to go. It's just a matter of making sure that you guys don't need to be here till 4 in the afternoon. At that same meeting, we'll have the exercise discussion. We're looking at that possibly in April, similar to what we did with the EOC, running that very same format. I'm ready to deliver the draft toolkit to ISAC. I think I'm actually just going to drive it down and meet with them next week. I just haven't set up that meeting. I'd like to get it delivered before the holidays, but I want to work with them on their schedule as well. Floodplain management hat and Sierra program coordination. I really thought I'd have the recertification paperwork for the community rating system Monday last week, and I still don't have anything. It was supposed to be coming Monday last week, so I'm getting a little bit nervous, but I'll give them until next week and then follow up accordingly. I mean, they were one of hundreds of communities that are going through recertification, and I know they've had some staff changes. But through that, we'll kick off our review for public. Well, on my end, I've been reviewing the public program for public information, but we'll take that public as well. That's a necessary step as part of our recertification. And in addition to the recertification, I thought we'd have the firm database, which are the new maps, new floodplain maps. The schedule that the IDNR shared with me was early part of December, December 3rd, we'd be getting those, and we didn't get those as well. Obviously, I've had access to them for a number of months, but I'd like to see the official documentation so we can start kicking off that process. Through that, though, we did send annexations that Darla Ingham helped me compile. Well, she actually compiled them, and I sent them forward to our FEMA contractors. So I very much appreciate her assistance, because that was a tedious job to go through and identify those. And then I think it's this week or next week we're having discussions with contractors. Oh, is it tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow. Discussions with contractors on our levees we have in Story County. and whether they should be certified for flood protection purposes or not. They are all ag levies under private ownership, so I will make a very strong argument that they should not be certified for flood protection purposes. And I think we have the DNR to back us up as well. They show up on our maps, and they bring some additional level regulatory, not necessarily needed regulatory mechanisms that we all have to implement. It would affect Cambridge, Maxwell, and the unincorporated areas of Story County. So stay tuned on that. Hopefully the discussion goes well. We did apply for the High Water Sign Initiative about 6 months ago. I did hear back positively from the Army Corps, although some hurricanes came into being where their priorities were shifted. They have some ideas of what they'd like to incorporate as well. They're really excited about our application. I just know this is low on the totem pole, their priorities. But we're in there. We've been approved at least. I moderated, and I did put air quotes on that, or quotation marks, because me moderating an online webinar was a little bit challenging. But it was a great experience to do, and I look forward to doing that. I continue my relationship with the Iowa Floodplain Stormwater Management Association, which is ISMA, which I was one of the, proud to be one of the founding members of that organization about 10 years ago now. Just a quick yearly snapshot of floodplain permit review. 45 permits issued this year. That's actually, it was a heavy year of permit activity. 21 non-structural pre-construction phase permits, 2 structural permits with a bunch to be issued, a bunch of structural ones to be issued. I have 5 new applications that I officially paid that are sitting at my desk for review, and I know I have at least half a dozen coming in the door any minute, which kind of makes me a little bit nervous. Overall, we did receive 23 new permit applications this year, and that's a high number. And they're not just simple ones, too. Some of these are a little bit more complicated. That does take either review by myself and other entities or the DNR as well. So it keeps me busy, so plan review does. You did, in earlier this fall, make changes and do your yearly review and changes to strategic plan. That will be coming before you then in probably the end of March, early May, to start, end of March, early April, to start looking forward to the next 3 to 5 year strategic plan, start that planning horizon. And also, the fall, I did finally bring to fruition and adoption the ordinance development and review guidelines manual. Those have been distributed to elected officials and department heads on the internet. And we've used it for a couple of different ordinances, such as the animal control changes that went forward to guide the process and test it. Been working with the city of Maxwell. I did some visioning exercises in October or November. Kind of in this phase right now, we're working on their urban renewal district. Like to be meeting next week. I still not heard. They had a meeting set up, and then they had some attendance issues, myself included. I could not be there. But working with her contractors to do internally some GIS for them, is the careful of they have a private contract consultant with whom they're paying, and then what do we do as a county MC to help them out, too. So,
I like any slide that includes a state love.
I did some. You know, we had a fun exercise. Marty was there, and I think it was well received. I know I had a lot of fun doing it. There was a little Stay Puft moment, too. And we did do the quadrant meetings this fall, and I think we want to talk about those in the future as part of the communications plan, how we address changes to those if necessary, and we go forward. And then working on the website refresh, too. And the content end of things, we're still waiting to do the final check off on the proposed layout. We're asking for some additional changes. But I know we have a meeting scheduled for next week where we will be seeing some static things more than just the grayscale.
Leanne, I wanted to ask you about that because I got the notice, you know, and I'm still on the list, so I normally ignore them because it's coming back to us. But this particular invite from our website people, Civic Plus, this specifically listed me as one of about six that were required or, you know, should attend. And then there was another list that were optional that were most of the rest of the committee. So if either you or Barb, I mean, if somebody put my name on that list, is there a reason?
Barb and I, one of either Barb or Latry or all three of us will check into it.
Okay, just, I mean, because I was surprised to see my name show up on that. So, okay.
Making your way up here?
So I responded yes, and I could certainly take it off of my schedule.
I think what happened, we had a group formed in Exchange called Web. Okay. It included all the group members. But then as people interacted with Lauren, our project manager, she kept track of their names. So I noticed in the last invite, she sent some of the invite to those names. And so then I sent it to the ones that she had excluded. So I think she doesn't know who is all part of that. She just knows some of the names and was trying to be cordial and just invited them personally.
Okay, I thought it was weird. That's
yeah, I thought that too. I don't think she separated them for any particular reason.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Barb.
Home-based Iowa, as Brenda Dreyer indicated, the changes were before the board last week. They're now live on the website. They've been sent down to the state as well. And I have 10 letters to write and get out this week with the new materials. And then I'm going to go back to everyone else that I sent the former materials to and say, hey, we've revised the program. And so please keep us in mind if you're still thinking about relocating to Iowa. So I have some work now between now and the holidays to get all those letters out. Kind of like writing Christmas cards, too. It takes some time. The economic development policies and process were adopted last week. And again, just like Home-Based Iowa, these are now live and on the website. And I'll be shortly after the beginning of the year setting the meeting for the pre-application conference meeting and have the opportunity to invite the cities and school districts and other entities in to have some discussion on what may or may not be available this year from a funding standpoint. Leadership Nevada, I really enjoy going through Leadership Nevada. It's a two-year program. This was the year in which we were doing it. We did a day-long session, and that was last Thursday. I'm so appreciative to the sheriff's office. They let us hold it over there, and they hosted us beyond my expectations. The food was exceptional. We tried to keep the room as comfortable as we could, so I was always asking participants to be cold, hot, and I think we generally kept it okay. As soon as I get the results, though, from the feedback from the survey, I'll send out to the board. But we stayed put, and we had a great session, I think. Alyssa, I want to thank Alyssa Wignall. She came in and did a skill session on project management and leadership, which I haven't had time to tell her this, but later on in the afternoon, as they were talking about their project, they actually pointed some of the topics she discussed. So they were very, very engaged, very good group. And then I look forward to, as a citizen leader, what they'll be as our next leaders in the community.
I got to hear part of Alyssa's presentation also, and then Leanne's presentation over the lunch hour on county government. It was a good job by both of you. It was interesting. I learned new things as I was listening to that, and I was very impressed. So thank you both, and I'm sure the rest of it was great.
I think it was. I know they appreciated seeing every aspect of the Justice Center, where in the past we've had to make that a little bit shortened, and they had a lot more time. I have some additional, some people have been able to help me. Really what you see up here is not just me doing stuff. So Chrissy, or Christina Tassar, Chrissy is the new communications social media intern. She's Tuesday and Thursday afternoons. And after the beginning of the year, might be Tuesday mornings as well, so you may see her with a video camera. As you know, we did the scale project with Home-Based Iowa, and appreciated the opportunity to engage with those students and work with those students. And today is the celebration of their culmination of activities this year. And then we continue to work with the Ames Business Engagement Collaborative. Those are the Ames High School students.
We've been working on timestamps in our YouTube videos, incorporating PowerPoints, the Story County video, and then we'll get them started in the Technology Academy. And Chrissy is really working with these students, too, to make sure that what she's doing really complements what they're proposing and vice versa, too. So it's a good learning experience for all those involved. Miscellaneous, done a lot over the past quarter. Everything from facade grant to helping different departments with resolutions to RFPs. I see myself as a resource for other elected officials and departments when they have things that need to be brought forward to the board. I'm kind of behind the scenes worker bee, partnered I'm a partner and part of the wellness committee. So most of the flyers now you see are Rachel's handiwork, but I still do occasional things. You'll see one of my handiwork tomorrow, hopefully. Lots of stuff up there. I won't go into that in too great detail. Then, again, a lot ahead of me. Working on annual report and communications plan right now. Christy's working on onboarding video with HR and doing interviews and putting that together. Kicked off the CIP. There's a lot of stuff up there.
There's
everything. The watershed assessments, I did get an update from Pat Conrad with EOR, will be before you after the first of the year. They wrapped up all the TOMER tool, the ACPS tool analyses, have some recommendations for ordinance amendments. Just a lot of good things happening with what will come out of that. And then the big one up there is I'll be really, really starting to get a little bit worried about my certified economic developer exam. I'll take it in June of 2018. It is a two-day exam. First day is just tests, book tests, and if you pass those, you do the oral exam the next day. So you may not want to talk to me in May, so I'll be focusing on that. Are there any questions for me?
So I just say, every time you come before us, it amazes me how large this job has grown. First of all, what a great job you do. Secondly, how large this job has grown from where it started out. And I know that you started conversations with HR about the possibility of presenting to the board a kind of a refocusing of what this job is and how it's done. And not for us to talk about today, but I just wanted the board to be aware that I know you started those conversations with HR, and it truly has grown into a big, broad, very eclectic job that you're doing. Thank you. Questions or comments? Marty or Lori?
No, people know that Lee and I are friends here in the community, and do you work with Leanne? Yes. What's Leanne do? I explain it.
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, she is a catch-all, as Deb Sildroth is, and the thing is to see it presented up there. You realize that much moves across her desk, much piles onto her desk, and some of it is pretty heavy lifting.
I'd like to come back to something you said kind of at the start here, Leanne, about maybe going to your report twice a year instead of a quarterly report. And one of the things that I really like is that, yes, we are able to track you on a daily, or kind of as you're doing your individual projects, but I like that you come quarterly and that you spell out where you've been and what you're working on now and where you're headed. And I was thinking about this the other day about, boy, because eclectic's a good word, Marty, to describe not only your duties, but I think also Deb's and Alessa's kind of a little bit, about getting some kind of regular update. So, but I can understand also about why you should, repeat all the things that you've always done so often. But I just would encourage all three to maybe do a brainstorming. See, if we did ask for some kind of regular updates, I know for me, one thing that helps me keep track of what's on your plate so that I try to be conscious as I get ideas about, is this now the time to pitch it? Is this the time to talk to the board? So anyway, that's something that I think in the future we might want to talk about, because I like this. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ann.
Other reports, update of printing services and voice over internet.
Morning again.
Good morning, board. We've changed vendors a couple times in the past couple years, and one we couldn't have any control over because LightEdge sold the VoIP technology to Aurion. And then recently we did do a managed print service RFP and selected a vendor. So I wanted to show you what that did for us. And so many times I come to the board asking for money, I'd just like to show you where we're saving a little. So this is maybe a little hard to see, but you should all have a copy. What we did with the, this is our VoIP savings, and we had LightEdge for 3 years, and at the end of their 3-year contract, they sold the business to, that piece of their business to Aurion. So we took the last 6 months we were with LightEdge and compared it to the first 6 months we were with Aurion to get kind of a dollar-to-dollar comparison. What Aurion did for us is take the exact contract that we had with LightEdge and just had us re-sign it. So basically, we were going to get 6 years at the same price. However, what we noticed with Aurion is they don't charge for some of the services that they offer. So we're seeing, on average, about $1,000 a month savings, which is great. And there is kind of a, if you look at the bottom, for 6 months, that was $6,500 that we saved in the six-month comparison. So we're looking at about $12,000 a year that we're saving with Aurion VoIP services. Okay. So I'm pleased about that.
Absolutely.
Any questions?
Tells a good story.
So then the second spreadsheet I'm going to show you is, and it doesn't all appear on here, but you should all have a copy of this too. This is the cost comparisons from our former printing services to our current. This was a little more difficult to translate because before we had leased our equipment, those that had leased equipment from U.S. Bank, and then we paid Premier on a monthly basis for copies. Now, some of the departments had purchased their own printing device, so that's why there's not showing any amounts in the U.S. Bank lease. So when we decided to streamline this a little and unanimously went with Marco, so what we get from them on a monthly basis is the lease and the copies all built into one. This not only helps IT, but it helps the auditor's office, too, when it comes to paying those invoices. So some of the... If you look on column J, you'll see that some of the departments are looking at some savings. The ones who aren't are the ones who had already owned their own copier. And, for instance, the Board of Supervisors, they were given some hand-me-downs for the last couple years. We tried to utilize some of the copiers we had at CLP, which were all purchased, and they were pretty much end of life. And for all of those departments that owned their own copier, they were at the 6 to 10 year mark anyway, so they were going to have to be replaced, and this has eliminated that cost. So we're seeing some good savings there. If you look at column K, the percent saved, and I must note, county attorneys, I think, and the auditor are seeing the most substantial savings, and this does not include, of course, the buyout, which is $57,000, and that was spread across all departments in, I think it was code 99. So I just thought I would share this to you just to see where we're at. We haven't been with them for a full year. It's been since February. But we're already seeing some good savings. And this is a 5-year contract. So by the time we get to the end, we're going to really see that $57,000 that we put out will be totally recouped.
Well, and what's important to note, I think, is we enhanced our printer and copying ability, capacity. I know that in the Board of Supervisors office back when we had the hand-me-down copiers, we used to always print to the auditor's office, which would be more wear and tear and more cost on the auditor's office. And so it truly does all fit together. It's encouraging to see $15,000 in savings in 10 months and better capacity. So thank you for bringing that to us. Questions for Barb?
Very nice to have a department head come and tell you how we, as a government, doing our day-to-day business, saves the taxpayers' money. Mm-hmm. Probably go a while before we hear that again.
Yes, I wanted to make sure we had a nice highlight to today.
Right.
Good, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for a highlight. So that takes us to public forum number two, opportunities for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. We can't take any action due to the privacy of the meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody wishing to speak? Scott, you want to speak? Come on up.
Mr. Mayor.
Lined it down for you. How many years have you served as mayor?
16 years.
16 years.
Scott, the young mayor of Cambridge. I just wanted to come up and thank the board for the assistance throughout the years. It's truly changed over the last 16 years. The assistance that the small communities have gotten for economic development purposes and administrative purposes even. Leanne has helped us a lot over the years, and certainly with Drew being hired or contracted with the county and Brenda in later years here, that has really helped a lot. I know you get some resistance on some of these programs, but it really has helped. And sometimes it's not always just the financial help. When you have these programs, it helps us think of ways to improve our community.
Mm-hmm.
So you've helped us with our industrial park that we did, our small industrial park, the community building that we're doing an open house for on Saturday. It's been a great help to the city of Cambridge. And like I said, it helps us be motivated to improve our community when those programs are available. So some of them would have happened even without the money. And I'm not saying that money wasn't important, but it's a spark. And I'd like to personally thank you, Rick. I probably wouldn't have been mayor for 16 years if it wasn't for you.
Well, you're the first mayor I met. When I decided to get interested in this, you were the first small-town mayor I met. And I still remember the first thing you said to me is, isn't there a way the Story County can be more supportive of the smaller town?
Yeah, it's really hard for a part-time mayor with the small staff to find resources and methods of improving our communities. It just gets overwhelming at some times.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's been weeks that I've probably put 15 hours in as mayor, and that's on top of a full-time job and for a while a second business. So, you know, it's taxing for small town officials. And a lot of that taxing is just not knowing what to do. So, you know, we started some projects early on that were some creative projects and may have caught the eye of an auditor here and there saying, what's going on here? But they've all been for the good of the community. And once you start that ball rolling, it seems easy to keep it going.
Well, and Cambridge has transformed in the last 16 years, and you have a large part to do with that. And I'll just say this. So we're blessed in Story County that we have outstanding mayors, by and large, in our communities. But we have not had a mayor. In my 10 years of being involved in all this, we've not had a mayor who's been as active as Scott. He served as chair of the Emergency Management Commission, vice chair of the Emergency Management Commission, shows up every time that there's a meeting where we ask the mayors to be at. Been really involved in the Story County Economic Development Group, and the list would go on and on and on if I could sit here and think about it. But bottom line is, thank you for what you've done. Cambridge has improved, but so has Story County because of your years, and I love the sash.
Well, thank you.
Is there an official passing of the sash, or is this something that goes on?
Yeah, that'll pass. But I don't know if he'll use it or not. I've got my $80 worth out of it. So
Scott and I had lunch yesterday with the new mayor of Cambridge. We had a really nice lunch, and he's going to do a good job.
Yeah, he will. He's got the right temperament for the job, and I'll assist him over the next however long he's there. There's portions of the job that I still want to keep it active with. The economic development part really interests me, and a lot of that unfortunately happens during daytime hours.
Right.
And my work schedule is flexible enough that I'm around a lot during the day, and I think he's appreciative of that assistance. So there shouldn't be any drop off. Our biggest challenge in Cambridge is where to go.
Right.
We are surrounded by owners, don't want to free up any ground, and so that will be our struggle going forward. It's not that we can't grow, it's just we don't have the space.
So I
thank you, Scott, for what you said and pointing out that, you know, it's the previous boards and you know, that I'm coming on as a newbie and learning how much I don't know. Okay. Thank you for what you said, because it's nice on the days when it gets a little more stressful, that it's nice to remember what we're doing and why we're here. We're studying stuff. Yeah. Thanks.
I don't think you guys get thanked enough from the mayors. Just part of it is nobody can make these meetings, and I wanted to make a point to come up and say thank you.
Well, thank you for doing it. Appreciate it. Appreciate all you've done, Scott. Anybody else on public forum number two? I actually have one, sadly, that we need to talk about. So Wednesday afternoon, as chair of the board, it was brought to my attention that IT had noticed a huge spike in our internet usage coming out of the board supervisor's office. And so as part of standard protocol for IT, they started to investigate to see what the problem was, what was happening that we weren't used to seeing. And, of course, I can't believe we're having this conversation, but apparently over the last week you've downloaded 20 gigabytes of Netflix movies. And I just got to tell you, that is not an appropriate use of public resources.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It is disrespectful to people of Story County. I can't believe we're having this conversation. Please.
And I will be immediately reimbursed. It's when I'm in on weekends working, and I'm watching a movie. Sometimes the internet's on here. Sometimes I'm streaming through my phone. I will immediately reimburse the county. Okay, you're right, Rick. You are right. You're right. I didn't even think about the times when the internet's on. For a long, long time, the internet was never up in the county on the weekends, and I was always using my stream on my phone. So you are absolutely right, and does Barb have some kind of bill for me?
No idea. You
are absolutely right entirely, and I will stop immediately and always instead use my tethering service.
Well, this, absolutely. I appreciate you. But this is not the place to watch movies. This is a place to work. And appreciate that you want to come over here at times that nobody else is around. But when you come over here, it ought to be to work. And please respect that this building is a public building and is not intended for any of us to carry on personal endeavors.
Well,
thank you. Thank you.
Okay, I just would like to comment. I was working, as you know, for example, last weekend when I was over here, I was doing the sorting of papers, et cetera. That's, to me, a very minimal kind of activity when it comes to using brain power. So I'm using it in the background. Now, I also listen to the radio sometimes on my computer, and I know that has never gotten in the way of me doing the heavy brain work. Okay, so we cannot listen.
You got to use your own judgment. I think very clearly watching movies here in the administration building is not appropriate. 20 gigs sounds like a huge amount. I mean, it just sounds like a huge amount to me. I appreciate where you are. Okay. Anything you want to add in on that one? I was shocked and just not one.
I have nothing.
Okay. Liaison assignments. Marty, we'll start with you.
I was in Zering last night, made mention of it earlier today.
through Brandon Dreyer and some really groundswell communities. They have turned a lemon into a potential lemonade as they move land purchase and the bid to bring a second clinic to the community. Will be housing their EMS and some other meeting space and whatnot. You will have private dollars in addition to city dollars. It is a win, and I look forward to seeing this come to fruition in 2018. Kudos to city administration and Zering and Ames Economic Development for helping shepherd this. There's some, not only was the conversation last night about this new clinic setting, but they were laddering off of their facade granting, and they have a gentleman in their midst that actually spoke to us, and we got to meet him here this summer, Ron James, where there are some state programming dollars available to communities beneath the 1,500 population level that they are going to go to the pre-application process, and they voted to do that because they think that in addition to leveraging the dollars that we provided them, that they would put some of their own dollars and possibly bring a building that would go through stages actually to the point of not quite occupancy but very close to it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I can consider success in the summer communities. I'll keep talking about this. Rick, this morning, you stole this out of your office. I will take it back. I promise not to drop it. We went over yesterday, or not yesterday, this morning, and this is one from the record book. We had the opportunity to sit amongst some of the movers and the shakers of the Ames community on how they conduct themselves in their stories, and everyone was a win. Saw some familiar faces, saw some new faces, but in those people that do things in their community on behalf of the city of Ames and the county as a collective, Rick was noted. He won this, and I'd like to say thank you for providing that kind of leadership outside of this role. At a home base Iowa function here, I will be attending here shortly. Just got a second judicial meeting and DCAP meeting. Good things happening there. We got our drainage meeting here coming up, and tethered off of that, I have a tile discussion that I'll be having with a farmer, sundry other stuff, as you will both know, the offices that you hold them, that things pop up and you take care of them and whatnot. But I have people stand in a ditch on a cold day with a farmer here coming up, and I think I'm going to try
you to sound like the right man
drag Darren out with me to do it. So I'll hand off.
Thanks, Marty. Morris.
Tonight I'm at the Ames City Council for the 5-minute vote and presentation that we do for the Ames Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. My role is the second member of the Ames City Council. Okay. Got it down now, okay? So other than that, the two or three of the boards that I have been, that I sit on representing the county are not having their usual December meetings where they've combined them earlier in the month based upon the holidays.
Yep.
And I did put in some additional duty with community and family resources. Went up to Fort Dodge because the board and the executive director had asked me to come up and help interview for a new communications manager for that group. So that's pretty much kind of what I've been doing.
Okay. Thank you,
Laura.
Nothing additional from me. With that, I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we're adjourned. Thanks, everybody.